Yeah, that's all right. No problems at all. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Monday Night Big Footy Tiger Cast. Hope you're doing well. Footy is back. Wasn't the result we were after, although the result really doesn't actually matter, to be totally honest, which we'll get to very, very shortly. But we hope you're all doing very well and we're able to watch the game in some capacity today. Although 12:30 start time on a Monday, not exactly ideal for a lot of people. So I'm guessing a lot of you were probably watching it on replay. But EJ, welcome, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, going pretty well. Going pretty well. It was exciting to see a few new Cubs today. So
it was. Yeah. Now, I felt like this gaming reference might not make sense to a lot of people, but I felt like I was watching that game, like I was playing FIFA with a broadcast view, 10 high, and just couldn't see shit. And I know I've got to be appreciative that it was even on TV, so I'm not being, too antsy about it, but it was that. Along with, I felt like the kit clash was real a little bit as well with the shadowing and the light. It just made it really difficult to see who was who, didn't it?
It wasn't a great kit clash.
I ended up going off shorts because we had the white shorts on. That was kind of the best I could do.
About 30 seconds in, I just concentrated exactly what I did. I concentrated on the shorts.
Yeah. I know that ground's not set up to have AFL level broadcast, which was fine, but it was tricky to say the least, but that's okay. Nice little photo there in the background of the Tiger Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be a long year. We're going to have our bumps along the road, so we've just got to be mindful that what we're doing is we're seeing the Cubs grow, so we'll enjoy the ride, and yeah, we'll have a bit of a whinge every now and then, but it's all the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step, as Confucius, I think it was him, said. So, we're at the start. That's where we are. I mean, we basically went to we went nuclear with our rebuild. Like, we're right at the start.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We've got to be realistic about what we're going to see. So,
and I think it's worth mentioning this straight off the top. It's the 17th of February. Okay, I have seen a lot of comments blowing up all over the shop on all different platforms, and I just have to shake my head in a little bit of disbelief at some of the stuff being thrown around. And whilst the result wasn't, no one likes losing, of course, but geez, there's some meaning behind it and some reasons why maybe things happened. And I just feel like some people are taking this one a little bit to heart for round one, a nothing game in the 17th of March. A couple of people in Perth flagging that the heat was quite hot. So that wouldn't have been. And I actually noticed the team took a little bit longer to come out after the second period. I'm guessing they were in front of the ice fans or something.
Yeah, maybe that was what was responsible for the K-Mac vibes. I don't know.
I'm flipping it. I'm doing it. We're going to bring that one up first. Speaking of K-Mac, EJ sent through one of the great Photoshop jobs that he's done for quite some time. K-Mac obviously sporting a headband, and it just made us think of Carmelo Anthony. He's really dug deep and got that vibe going. So EJ's gone with corporate need you to find the difference between this picture and this picture. They're the same picture. So Carmelo Anthony and Camden McIntosh just rolling with the same type of headband with no hair. I'm digging it, Camden. I like it.
As soon as I saw it on the telecast, I was in our chat and I said, Carmelo Anthony's here. Like, this is unreal.
Yeah. Like,
so good. Yeah, and look, we've got to find positives on a pretty ordinary day. So
we should have all worn headbands tonight, actually. I know it was short notice. We should have rocked the headbands.
Yes.
So we'll get stuck into that. Did I say March? Sorry, Damien. Feb. Absolutely. 17th of Feb. My apologies if I said March.
17th of March. We've already lost our first two games.
We already lost. Yeah, we're already here. 0-3. So getting into the game itself. So West Coast 10-2-62 knocked off the Tigers, 4-2-26. Goal kickers were Lawler with 2, Hayes Brown with 1, and Mansell with 1. Before we speak about the game, and look, result-wise, I truthfully don't care about the result because it's not really the right time of year. But just for some context, because I know some people are up in arms about it, but just to digest this for a little bit, we had one player over 70 games. West Coast had 9. We had 11 of 22 players with less than 10 games. Eagles were 5 of 28. So, and that was from someone off Big Footy, so I can't remember the username, but thank you for posting it. But it just puts into context that realistically, win-loss aside, we were never going to win that game. But it was probably more about what we were seeing within the game with certain types of play, ball movement and things like that. And I suppose the one thing that probably stood out to me was it felt like we had two very distinctly different looking game styles, especially that we tried something I felt definitely different in the second period. It went from being play on quicker in the first period, which we looked okay and we outscored them by a point, to slow tempo footy, which just did not work, EJ. We got absolutely smashed in that second period. In the third period, we actually broke the lines and played on quickly again and got dangerous again and actually won the quarter again. So it's funnily enough that the two times we actually tried to take the game on, we actually benefited from it.
Yeah, look, I understand why. First of all, I didn't like the go slow. I hate it. I hated it. All it does is it gives the other team time to set up. And Everything was clogged, which made us go even slower, which was infuriating. But I understand why it was trialed, because last year we were an absolute pack of Swiss cheese on turnover. We just got carved up week after week after week. They were just running straight through us. So I kind of say, you know, if we're going slow, we can be set ourselves behind the ball so that if we turn it, the issue was they still went through us.
Yeah.
So it achieved nothing. So, you know, I know we won the first and third quarter. I'm not sure winning 1-1 is exactly something we should be having ticker tape grades about. I really hope that it was just a learning tool, and I really hope that that second quarter was not our game plan, because if that's what we're going to base our year around, the frustration isn't going to be losing, it's going to be how we're losing.
That's right. That's right. That second period felt very reminiscent of last year. And I just really hope that people don't grasp onto what they saw in that second period and that's their whole vision of the game, because there was a lot more to it than that. Yes, that was ugly and horrible. But the times where we, in that first and third period, where we were taking on those angled kicks and doing the overlap running and quicker ball movement, we did look a lot better. And naturally, we would all rather us make mistakes doing that than chipping it around. I understand from a coaching perspective why you would want to practice that. I mean, that game's perfect for it, to practice that possession football. I just think we probably didn't have the talent on the park to execute that properly. And all it essentially did, like you alluded to, is it let West Coast get bulk numbers behind the ball, and it pretty much just forced the dump kick, which I don't care what brand of football you're playing, that's never the result. And even at our best, when we were flying at 27, 18, 19, 20, I absolutely loathed when we would get the ball 80 metres out and slow it down, because teams would just flood back and then you're just dumping it high. And thankfully, we had Riewoldt and Lynch down there, but we don't have that luxury now. So I think, if it was me personally, I'd be putting a big emphasis on moving the ball quickly when you're in that front half of the ground. Get it into a one-on-one contest. If there's three one-on-ones, get it in there, back our guys in and just see what happens, because the opposition's actually more likely to give away a free kick in those scenarios too.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about some positives?
Yeah, no, we'll go through some of the players. I thought that I know Kaczynski's had his knockers over the journey, but I actually thought he and Blight did really well down back. I know Blight had a nightmare of a kick. Everyone's going to make kicking mistakes. Let's not hang the bloke for it.
Did anyone not see Alex Mance play in the first 3 years of his career?
Exactly. Yeah. But if we're talking from a pure defensive aspect, from intercept marking, spoiling, positioning, I know Alan kicked a few goals, but he's one of the best forwards in the comp. So I don't care who was defending him, who's going to get those goals. But I thought Cozzy really put his best foot forward, as did Blight, for that defensive spot in the absence of Bolter. And today didn't actually help me decipher which one I'd have ahead of the other, to be honest. I thought Cozzy hit more targets than Blight. Blight maybe took some more marks, but I thought they both, did reasonably well.
I thought Blight's spread was a bit better. Like he got himself in better positions after we'd gotten possession back. And so he was able to widen the ground and things like that really well. I do have to say, in the defence, though, it still freaks me out seeing Miller in number 12.
Yeah, I know.
That's just really, 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 it's going to take some getting used to.
But I thought those two looked really good. Caleb Smith, I really liked off halfback. He was one I was really keen to see how he went. He had a couple of off kicks, and he got done for holding the ball on the goal line, which he should have rushed, but that's a learning thing. But that laser pass to Lawler to get his first goal, really, really good kick. And I quite liked his game.
I thought he was really solid. He caught my eye. Obviously, it wasn't a high possession game. It's not a full game or whatever, but he caught my eye on a number of occasions. Also, from a competitive point of view, you know, his follow up, his chase and tackle was really good. He played really, really well. I was really impressed, actually. So,
yeah, no, his second and third efforts were good. He was putting good pressure on. I wouldn't mind seeing him with ball in hand a bit more, but I know, you know, that just comes with part and parcel of playing more games. But I know that he's been one who's been putting his hand up to take that halfback role, and he did himself some good favours today, I guess. I would assume that he would play again against Collingwood. Thompson Dow, this is going to divide people, but I don't care. I'm saying it anyway. I thought Thompson Dow had a really good game and was almost arguably our best midfielder. Was in and under at the contest all day, getting the ball out. Didn't do a hell of a lot that wrong, I don't think. And again, playing as a main midfielder, when a lot of these guys aren't meant to be main midfielders, they're meant to be second, third stringers. I thought Thompson Dow did okay.
Yeah, I just think physically he just gets pushed around a bit. But apart from that, yep, I agree with, you know, your sentiments. I thought he was pretty good. Just on the halfbacks, Trezise played today, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, I really think that Smith took a step over Trezise today. I really, that was something when you were just talking about that before you moved on to midfielders, that really stood out for me. I was like, oh, wow. Like, there was a noticeable difference in output and quality of output from what I saw between the two of them.
Good call. I thought the same thing. If anything, I probably went into this expecting it to be a little bit the reverse. Yes. I thought I wanted to see that a little bit more from Trezise. He did some good overlap runs and things like that, but I felt like from a defensive effort perspective that Caleb Smith had a bit more in him than what Trezise did. And there's still time for him to come back, but I reckon if you were to pick a team based on today, you would have Smith ahead of Trezise, I think, if you're picking one player to fill that spot.
So you're talking about the midfield, Dow was pretty good. What are your thoughts on Ross?
I was honestly expecting a bit more from him today. And I don't know if it's because maybe his game was compromised because he was kind of asked to be the main midfielder. But maybe he's better as that second or third midfielder alongside Taranto and Hopper and Prestia. He did some okay things. He's obviously very good with his hands in close, but I probably was looking at him to get a hold of the game a bit more than what he did. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I was expecting a little bit more to see more from him, to be honest.
Yeah, as this one of the senior midfielders today,
I think
you're right to expect more. You did mention hands. Oh, that was something that I'd written down. We were under pressure a lot of the day. I actually thought our hands in close overall were pretty good. I thought we extricated ourselves from a few situations quite well by quick multi-chain handballs. I thought that's something that really stood out for me, actually, which was cleaner than last year.
Yeah, and which is credit to the younger guys doing that too, because that can't be easy under real-time pressure. I know West Coast weren't at full strength either, but it's still greater pressure than what they would have experienced in match sim, no doubt. So that was good to see. Campbell Gray, I thought he started the game really, really well, a couple of really strong marks. And then I noticed he was playing defense as well at some point.
I had to check the number. Yeah. I was like, oh, who's that guy? That's two really good efforts. Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He took some really good grabs. And then he was playing defense. He spoiled it and then still went and caught his own mark. I thought, oh, hang on, you've got a bit of go here. I actually think today, and I don't know why we moved him from the forward line. I'm guessing it was to give Hayes Brown and Fawcett more of a go deep. But again, if I was picking a team tomorrow, I think I would have him as the second tall forward alongside Lynch. I just think he presented really well down the line and was really strong with his marking.
Oh, what have I done? Come on, EJ. I don't know what opinion that was. Anyway, I'll tell you who impressed me as a first time in a Richmond jumper from a forwards and competitive point of view. And look, I know he's a mile off it compared to some of the others because he's a kid, but gee, that Sims has got some go about him.
Yeah, yeah, he does. There was even a time where he went for a mark late. He didn't get it and he hit the ground. He just crashed through the bloke who was picking it up and got on with it. Didn't win the ball, but it's just good to see him not hesitate, not pull out of the contest, just to use his size and go through. And he might be a 2-3 year type project player, I guess, but he's just got some good tools, doesn't he?
I think he'll play a couple of games this year. And the other thing I really liked was, I think we'll see a rotation through the whole year. We'll see a rotation of Fall, Armstrong, Sims, Fawcett. You know, we'll see a bit of everyone. What I really liked was in the forward line and he was up against the West Coast ruck, and I don't know who it was at the time, and he's obviously a string bean compared to the other guy, but he actually held his ground okay in the ruck contest for a stick.
Yeah, he's probably actually, I think I said this after we drafted him too, he's actually a lot thicker than I thought he was. I thought he was a lot skinnier, kind of like Liam McBean, beanpole skinny, but he's got a bit of muscle on him. He did fairly well for his first hit out, and yeah, I don't think that he'll look too out of place in the near future.
Well, there were certainly other players that have been around a lot longer that I think in comparison you'd be a bit disappointed in yourself when you see what that kid puts up.
Mm, yeah, exactly right. He's done all the work pre-season as well, and the coaching staff seems super happy with where he's at. If he's not playing AFL, he's going to be one that's going to be really exciting to watch at VFL level. Hayes Brown, the snack pack. Again, he was probably another one that I didn't kind of understand how big he was. I knew he was tall. What is he, 208 centimetres? But I didn't quite understand how filled out he was. Like, he's actually a really decent unit. Took some nice grabs. Kicking's a little bit iffy, but he got the goal late in the game. Seemed to ruck okay, obviously coming from the basketball background. And we know he did some really good work in the VAFA last year before coming back onto our VFL list. I think he's going to make a pretty good fist of it in the VFL. I don't know whether we'll see him at some point in the seniors this year, but he's definitely trajecting the right way.
Yeah, well, if, you know, a 30-year-old Nank gets injured, the odds are we probably will see him at some point. I was a bit more impressed with him than I was with Ryan.
Yeah, I feel like Samson's Ryan's divided a few people. I didn't think he played bad. I don't think he shot the lights out. Had a nice bullet pass to Sammy Lawler to set up a nice goal there. But I think for everyone, it's still the dropping of marks around the ground and people wanting to see him impose himself on those contests more, which would help take his game up to another 15-20%, which would be a lot more beneficial for him and for us as a team. So that's probably the biggest thing he's got to fix.
It's the physicality or lack of for me.
Yeah, he won some good taps and got some good taps to advantage, but he's still got to impact around the ground from a marking perspective. There was a good kick though. It was a
technically I think he's fine. Like I think I don't think that's the question. I mean, mind you, and I'm not putting him in the same camp yet, but technically Ben Lennon was fine too. But Ben Lennon had all the aggro of a Cabbage Patch Kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and that's, look, I was a very ordinary rugby union player, so I'm not putting myself up on a pedestal or anything, but I played really, I was sort of, at this club in Sydney, I was playing sort of third grade, and I was technically really good. And I just didn't have the mongrel. And then when I was about 23 or 24, I just had this one game where everything went right. And all of a sudden I thought, you know, I can physically do this. And I ended up playing a year in first grade. Now, this wasn't the top level in Sydney, so I'm not saying a superstar or whatever, but there was a switch in my head where it all clicked.
Yeah,
and I'm just waiting for that switch to go off in Ryan's head, because physically he's big enough, he's mobile enough, he's skilled enough. I just think it's that competitive switch that needs to go off.
Yeah, he just needs to get angry, doesn't he?
Oh, gee, and I'm really, really embarrassed talking about me for 30 seconds.
No, good, no, go anyway. For it, go for it. Jasper Elgar, I feel like he had an almost game, if that makes sense. I reckon he was getting to the right spots a lot of the time, but the ball just wasn't bobbling out to him, or he wasn't getting on the end of as many possessions as I would have liked. However, he was still chasing really hard. He put a lot of blokes under pressure, had a smother, a couple of tackles that really put the kicker off, and we got a turnover from it. So from that perspective, I really liked his game. I just would have selfishly loved to have seen him got a few more disposals, but I think he's definitely someone we've got to keep assisting with. He looks a likely type.
Are you saying we found our new George Castagna?
No, don't want to go that far with Georgie, a triple premiership player. But
that was a double-edged joke.
He was almost there to getting quite a few more touches, but I really liked the positions he was getting in. Mansell and Campbell rotating through the midfield. What did you make of that?
There was one passage from Mansell. I was like, whoa, he did this little move, shimmy, got through, cleared it out. I'd rather see Mansell full-time half forward myself, but he looks very fit. He looks very fit. And I think Campbell just needs one more year on the half forward line. Oh, look, I'm sure he'll go through a bit, but he just physically got beat up a couple of times. I know he got smashed in that tackle. So I like it. I just think it's a fraction too early. But I would also prefer, from a pressure point of view, to see Mansell in the forward line.
My notes on this was, I don't think it worked as well as we hoped it would in today's game, but I think that's because the midfield that was around them wasn't good enough to support them being in there. I think if they're in there in isolation with a Prestia, Taranto, Hopper, I think it works a little bit better because they've got that A-grade midfielder in there to protect them and do the higher end work. But them being in there in this type of game, I think they maybe got exposed a little bit, but at the same time, also good exposure for them to be in there and to have a crack at it.
And I think your point about Prestia, Hopper, Taranto, who are not exactly speed demons, is that Mansell and Campbell do provide a nice counter to what they are.
So I think players like they can balance it out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see what happens there. Sam Banks, what did you feel of his game? I thought he used it well when he had it.
Yeah, he was all right. I was probably expecting a little bit more, but again, it was the very first practice match. It was 37 degrees. Maybe I should just calm my farm. I think I expected more because I do like the kid. There's a lot of people asking for me to be a Cat B rookie and to change codes, and I am so far off the pace, believe me. I am not what this club needs. And Zoran actually said something in the chat about 2 or 3 minutes ago when I was talking about Ryan. He goes, Samson only, what the main thing he lacks is confidence. And I think that's a really good statement.
Yeah.
He's got to believe in himself before he believes in anyone else.
Just needs to get that sense of belonging.
Jones Racing saying, I'd love to see Rioli in the middle. I actually really like that. And I think that will happen when he comes back. I think he did a little bit of that in the weekend. In the Indigenous game. So, yes, that will definitely be part of the dynamic, I think.
We'll speak about Morris now while we're on that topic. What did you make of his game? I was truthfully really disappointed with some of the comments on socials about him.
I didn't watch the game. I had other things that I was doing. I watched a little highlights pack, but I didn't watch the game, so I can't honestly comment. I saw the score, and I heard that Longmuir say that they played vanilla because they didn't want to give anything away. That might get mentioned a little bit later on. That's actually just going to go down next to the other 2 points.
Yeah, no, that's, I think so. I think Morris, we played for about 45-50% of the game. He had about 7 touches, but of those 7 touches, 5 of them were score involvements. So he was pretty impactful when he was getting the ball. He was chasing, tackling, doing all the stuff you would want him to do. So, and got through unscathed, most importantly. And I think even more importantly, again, looked like he was having some serious fun, as all of them did, which was really, really good to see. I've got a question on that game. I'll come back to you after because we'll talk about a couple more players first, but I want to ask everybody one question on that. The next player we'll talk about from our game, who do I have down here? I'm leaving Lawler to last, but there's not many left. Hugo Ralph Smith obviously went down with a hamstring injury, which, really disappointing.
It's very disappointing.
I'm not even sure if he played enough to even form a view if he was having a good game or not, but we obviously think he's going to take over a wing spot. So to see him go down was, yeah. a bit flattening.
There was one or two efforts in the very first 5 minutes I was really disappointed in. Found himself stationary and letting his opponent go past him, which is one of the crimes, and it really, really annoys me. Don't wait for the ball, you know. Like when the ball's coming to you, when you stand there, if you take two steps forward, that's another three steps your opponent's got to get past you. So, but after that, I thought he settled in okay and was looking like Hugo that we know, was doing a fine job. And yeah, disappointing. Mr. Stokey Dope, hamstring, circle out.
And finally, Sam Lawler, the number one pick that we unveiled. Obviously, we all had a bit of heart and mouth moment in the last minutes due to what can only be described as a shit act of in football. But on Lawler's game itself, look, there was probably some times he maybe looked a little bit slower or out of position. That's just a learning thing. But the one thing he kept finding himself doing, he was at the right spot where the ball was going to be almost every time inside forward 50. Yeah. What do you have, five shots on goal? I know he sprayed one. Kicked two, probably unlucky not to have three. But you don't get yourselves in those positions that often just with luck.
No. I mean, imagine being that, like he's like a kid, it's his first game, and having the ability to lose your opponent, be empty in the forward 50 when it's been clogged up, like that first one where he was in the hole and it just got over the defender and he had a defender closing behind him. The other one, he was leading up. He's in this season, I think he's going to have quite a few games where he has 14 disposals, but he has two goals, one or three goals.
And I don't know how windy it was there, if it was a bit blustery, because some of those ones that he shanked were not great, but his set shots were beautiful. They were dead eye. And it was actually really good to see him leading up with the ball. That is nice and refreshing to see that, because he'd be a mid-sized forward when he's resting down there doing that. But yeah,
I know a lot of people will hate me saying this because I'm going to have to wash my mouth out, and I will wash my mouth out once I've finished saying it.
Oh.
In the forward 50, gee, he reminds me of Dangerfield. And that is, for me, I'm being positive when I say that. Look, for all the knocks on Paddy Dangerfield, he is a hell of a player, and he's very good up forward. Gee, Lawler reminds me of Dangerfield in the forward 50 so much. He's got great marking power. He's got physical strength. He's got good hands. And he's got that confidence to lead straight at the ball. He's gonna crash through a lot of people in his career.
He's going to crash and bash. Like, if nothing else, today showed that opposition defenders will have to pay him respect from the get-go, because he will be dangerous in that forward 50. I think there was a bit of play on the half-back line where he got the ball bursting through a pack and he ended up getting a free kick for being held, but he just split everyone open and someone just grabbed on for dear life and he didn't have the footy, so he got the free kick there. But, yeah, he was looking good. And look, fingers crossed, it's just a concussion. Hopefully the club said he's in concussion protocol. I would assume that he's been sent for scans on his jaw because he said he had a sore jaw, just as a precaution. Broken jaw would be absolute worst case scenario, but it sounds like we've avoided that, hopefully.
Yeah. Oh, look, and even if it is, you'll only miss 1 or 2 weeks. A hairline fracture of the jaw will be back in no time. Does Lawler lack speed? You know what? Greg Williams wasn't very fast. If your brain is ahead of the game, like you said, he got himself in the right positions. He was already there. He didn't need to use speed to get there. He used his guile. So I don't think he's ever going to be lightning quick, but I don't think a lack of speed is going to be a reason he doesn't make it at AFL level.
But we didn't draft him to be lightning quick either, did we? We drafted him knowing that wasn't his one wood as such. It was the power to break through tackles and to run smart, I guess. So it's interesting to see how he goes. Oh, look, it's disappointing he's going to miss the Collingwood game, but hopefully he gets himself right, because all things being equal, I think he would probably play round one on the back of that performance today.
Yep. And you know what? There's a couple of people. There's two different people I can see have made the same comment here. Dusty wasn't the fastest.
Dane Swan wasn't the fastest.
Dane Swan wasn't the fastest. Like, Dusty wasn't fast. He was powerful, but he wasn't lightning.
Yeah.
He didn't run away from people. There's a lot of comments. There's a lot of comments asking about Sonzi.
Yeah, I was about to bring that one up. I didn't mind his game. I thought he looked okay in a wing. He got into some good spaces, hit some good targets. It was probably one of those games where he didn't stand out and shoot the lights out, but then not many plays did. So I don't want to hold that against him. But
yeah.
I don't think anyone would have walked away from that game thinking, oh, geez, he stuffed that up. I don't think it was one of those games. I think it was a good, solid citizen game.
Yep. Yep. Okay. I hope he makes it because he's a really skilled player. So I want to get on the front foot before I get accused of bashing the kid like I was accused of picking on Cumberland. All I said about Cumberland was three different coaches didn't pick him. There must be a reason. Yeah, and it was, for me, evident what the reason was as to why he wasn't getting picked. It wasn't his talent.
Mm.
But I just don't see the urgency in Sonzi. If what I was talking about before with Caleb Smith about, you know, his desperation to get to a contest and he'd throw his body in and just to knock the person out of the way to get put, I don't see that desperation and effort. Sonzi looks quite languid. Maybe that's just his style and maybe that will be enough. But on the eye, that's the query that I have.
I feel like that he kind of fits into the same category that Samson Ryan's in with the confidence piece. He needs to believe that he belongs at AFL level to really start playing how he was playing as a junior, because I think he's playing a bit beneath himself, to be honest. I think there's a lot more within him that can take him to another level. Yeah. I'm just not sure he believes that he's fitting in or can do it or has got the time to be able to do it. I don't know, but... yeah, like he's got great skills, dual-sided. He's everything that you want in a player. He just needs to,
He's got all the tools. It kills me. And there was that nine-game stretch he played leading into playing in that final against Brisbane. He was really good. Like he was really good for that stretch. And it was like, yes, we found this kid, this player.
Interesting to see what he does with the rest of his career. It's up to him. It's all in his hands. Like talent for days, but needs to, I think, just increase the urgency and application side of it. And if he does that, it'll be hard to kick him out of the 22, to be honest. But it's all on him.
That's what I was going to mention. I was a bit underwhelmed today. A couple of flies at a ball or whatever, but I think he's got a use in the short term, but long term, I think he's going to get moved past unless he learns some new tricks.
Yeah, so I suppose I probably would have liked to have seen him leading up at the ball, like what Lawler was doing, because he's not a big unit. He's a Bailey Fritsch type size forward. So calling for it on someone's head when you've got Fawcett, you've got Snackpack down there, Sims was down there. He was never going to be a realistic chance to mark any of those. So he kind of had to be a bit more on the move and change what he was doing to get into the right spaces and lead. And look, to be fair, we probably didn't help him with the way we slowed up play and clogged up the back 50.
But Lawler still led.
He still led. Yeah, he still got his bike and found space, which is good. And yeah, I think that's what Bauer had to do today.
I'm no fan of Bailey Fritsch. He just annoys me. I think it's his hair. But and I've got none, so maybe that's it. But he really does change the dynamic in Melbourne's forward line when he moves and leads and pulls defenders in position. Bauer could not only help himself, he could help the rest of our forward line by leading out, because it pulls defenders away, creates space, and then you've got your snack packs and your Sims or whatever that are left behind that are dealing with less defenders as well.
Yeah.
So our player movement will help our ball movement. Thomas, that is a great point. but our players can help the ball movement by moving better themselves. It's a chicken and egg.
There's a little bit of Ford's learning and understanding the art of leading for no reward. And it's probably a really tough thing to teach yourself at the highest level. You want to be in the action. You want to be, especially when you're trying to cement a spot in a side, you probably feel like to do that, you need to have ball in hand. But you don't necessarily do you. Like,
they need to get Richo down there for a preseason. If anyone knows about unrewarded running.
Yeah, he knows. But, yeah, I think it's a good point you make. You could have done a few more things there to make space. But, again, it's a whole learning thing. Like, this whole game today was just a massive, massive learning exercise. And no one should be taking anything out of it of any serious note, really. It was just a, let's try this, let's try that. A few people have mentioned about the ball movement. We covered it off a little bit earlier, but just to rehash on that, obviously quarter period number two felt like a deliberate tactic to slow down and try tempo football, which clearly didn't suit the plays that were out there. But when we were moving the ball quickly with overlap handball, running in waves, I thought we actually moved it reasonably well. And funnily enough, when you move it quickly, EJ, you give yourself a chance to score.
Yeah. And as I said, I think apart from the fact that we were, I think, definitely practicing something in the second quarter, ball movement is a double-edged sword. Player movement and ball movement are symbiotic. They both have to work. If you don't have player movement, your ball movement will suffer.
Yeah.
If you don't have ball movement, your players won't move. So players have sometimes got to take the initiative, and it will, both sides will help each other. We'll be right. I'm sure we'll be right.
And the other thing as well, and again, I'm not making excuses for the game because the results are relevant, but the players who are all playing on the team today would not have probably played as a team ever before, if that makes sense. Yeah. They would have had other people in different spots doing different things. And it sounded like, I don't know if you heard the commentary at the start, it sounded like we rocked up to the ground pretty late to the start of the game. It was just like, oh, quick, let's just get strapped up and get out there. So, yeah, you can't take too much out of it. Hawk, you've asked about kick-ins. The Eagles only kicked two behind, so there's not really much to report back on there, to be honest. Yeah, thankfully, it's probably a good thing, but they kicked extraordinarily straight when they had the ball moving forward, which was good. What else did we have? Was there anything else, any other takes from the game at all? Have we missed any players?
Look, I suppose the only thing to cover off would be the Jinbi actual incident with Lawler. I saw an interesting tweet from John Ralph saying that the AFL currently doesn't have a thing for it, but they're aware of players being pushed so that there's no really pigeonhole it can be put in. And that goes to what I was talking to you with about before the show last year. Hopper pushed Will Day in a centre square contest into a contest on the ground, and he's done his collarbone and he's out for weeks. At the moment, there's nothing stopping players pushing players into dangerous situations. It results in a free kick, but it doesn't result in any other penalties. We've, on this show and in the chat, the people in the chat, on social media, it's been talked about for years about certain forwards pushing other players into dangerous situations. You know, blue and white stripes, big fella, cheesy grin, hell of a player. So we all know it's there. It's, if they're not going to penalise it, it's up to the AFL have to come up with an unduly rough play, a dangerous play.
I think it ultimately comes down to there's a duty of care. The AFL have always used that as the catchphrase last year, isn't it? Duty of care when it comes to the head and a player being in a vulnerable position. So Lawler entering that contest, trying to go for a mark or whatever, is in a vulnerable position and then gets shoved and accelerated forward into oncoming traffic. So on one hand, Ginby's probably gotten rid of the duty of care piece, and it just depends on what the AFL, what angle they want to go with. Like you said, there's no probably written rule on that. And like you said, to Jacob Hopper's point last year, obviously with Will Day, there's no real precedence there, I guess. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if it's a discussion point or not. Maybe it's not something for this year. The takeaway, the two teams today, I think it's something in general the AFL need to probably stop, because it's going to cause some serious damage one day.
Yeah. And the thing about it was it wouldn't be such an issue if Jinbi was pushing him out and putting his hands up to mark the ball. Jinbi was pushing him purely so that he couldn't contest the marking contest, and Jinbi had no intention of getting into the contest. It was just a push to put Lawler out of the contest. That's the difference.
Exactly right.
So it wasn't, how you say it, wasn't in play, if you want to call it like that, or it wasn't active. It wasn't a football act,
no,
if you want to put it like that or whatever.
No, definitely wasn't. But it'd be fascinating to see how that one plays out. Hawk team, McIntosh played a lot of midfield time today, so he played in the guts. It actually kind of suited him. I didn't mind it. Granted, there was probably not the same type of players around him, so he's kind of the leader in there, I guess. But he got a few clearances and extracted the ball.
Him to shoot for three.
Yeah. With his headband. We need to see more of the headband. Hopefully we can see that in the real season. But, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens with the bump there. All right, I think that is it for the game. Now, we did mention I put out a tweet, or when I do a video or a tweet, one of the two, that there's going to be some extra videos and content coming out during the season. And one of them, we're not doing it for tonight because it wasn't a proper season game, but we are going to be doing a Big Footy Tiger Cast Player of the Year Award, where each of us are going to give votes a 3-2-1 after each game. And we'll release a video on Tuesday with the votes. We'll keep a running tally and things like that. But EJ has signed an executive order in relation to the voting of the Big Footy Tiger Cast Player of the Year Award. So we're just going to share that with you now. And it just says, this is, you tell us who you think this is aimed at. Does it say?
No, look, I'm a little bit concerned. And, you know, given the recent episodes in the States, apparently it's very easy to just change things. And I want this award to be extremely serious, this Player of the Year award. I don't want any more shenanigans from the likes of CB17. So I've signed an executive order, and it is legal and binding to all members of the Big Footy Tiger Cast panel, that any votes cast for Jake Arts shall result in immediate removal from the Tiger Cast Player of the Year voting eligibility for the said judge. And also, any votes he's cast on any player shall be struck from the record. I've signed the executive order. It's had approval from Michaels. And so, CB,
we're cracking down seriously,
or none of your votes will count.
That's right. We want it to be a legitimate award. It's got to be worth something. So we'll be serious votes only. So it'll be interesting to see how it all aligns from round one.
There you go, see? Make
Richmond
great again. That's what it's all about.
Make Richmond great again. So we'll be doing the votes. We'll record them on a Monday night, and I'll post them on a Tuesday night. So keep an eye out for that. Now, there's also another new segment, and I haven't got the jingle part ready yet, but we'll where is it? I'm going to bring it up here.
Don't put it up yet.
No, okay, so you go. You let us know what it's called.
Because after this, it just goes straight to the graphic, doesn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, it will when I click on it. So you take it away. What's the new segment you got?
The new segment we have is called Come On Man. I mean, and it's ripping off Joe Biden. But what we're doing is we are going to pull up and highlight through the year all the ridiculous statements by players, coaches, media stars, etc., that are just bullshit, and we're not buying it. We're not buying it. The amount of spin that has entered this game is ridiculous. So we do have, and what we're going to do is we're going to put out a hashtag on the Big Footy Tiger Cast, and it's going to be Come On Man, and we absolutely encourage all of you every week to put your nominations in. And what we will do every week is we will mention a short list, and then we will have one that is the Come On Man of the Week, and there will be a Come On Man of the Year. There's a leaderboard, which will be up in a minute. The first week, we've got two nominations and a winner. The first nomination goes to something that was mentioned in this thread earlier on, Justin Longmuir. Come on, man. Like, to come out after the Indigenous game and say that you played deliberately vanilla because you didn't want to give anything away to the rest of the competition. Come on, man. We're not buying that shit.
Honestly, what a shocking cop-out that is. That is horrible.
Oh, unbelievable. And the next one goes to another person out in the West. Midweek. Yes, Kane. Yes, Kane Corn's comments will be there a fair bit. The next one from in the West, there was the media conference during the week where Tim Kelly announced that he'd fallen out of love of the game and he was finding it really hard to get motivated and life was tough being a footballer. Come on, man, you're on $800,000 a year and you keep the bloody bezel out. The rest of us are scrapping week to week, can't even pay the electricity bill and we're saving enough money for a packet of darts and a slab and you're crying and saying life is tough. Come on, man.
$18 for a Lindt Easter Bunny chocolate. $18.
There we go.
$50 for a slab of 30 cans of Coke. What is going on?
Yeah, but apparently life's tough when you're on $800 a year.
Oh, gosh.
Give it to me. Give it to me. And this week, winner and the inaugural Come On Man nomination for season 2025. I don't think it's any surprise. The AFL not releasing the details of the investigation into Chris Scott's third-party deal. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. We know. We know it's dodgy as shit. It's Geelong. You guys are joining me here. Just be honest for once in your life. Come on. We're not buying it.
Did I read tonight that there was a quote from Stephen Hawking saying that he's really happy with the outcome of the investigation, but no one knows what was found?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Geelong man is happy with the outcomes of investigation from organisation where he just left to go back to Geelong. Come on, man.
Jesus.
Like, honestly, like we've been calling the media out for a couple of years on this show. This year, it's going to go down on the board, and we are going to farm, we are going to harvest the great work from you people, and we are going to come up with some absolute doozies, to use a phrase, during the year. This just came to me over the course of a couple of days last week, and like instantly a list of things popped up, and every time you hear a media report or read a newspaper, you could write something else down. This game is the epitome of spin and crap, and we need to call it out.
So, like EJ said, nominations, you can send through nominations all through the week, and then they'll do a bit of a short list and we'll add. So there's going to be that top five leaderboard. We'll just keep rotating. If someone does something that's worth being on top five after it's filled, we'll pop them up there. But I'll try and improve that graphic to get it a bit more full screen. I'll have to change the orientation of it. But we'll work it out, but I like it. I like it.
But where we end up with at the end of round 20, whatever it is these days, that will be, in order, the top five Come On Mans for the year.
For the year. Oof.
So over the course of the year when we fill it, like, so we'll have weeks where the Come On Man will not be in the top five. So the leaderboard won't change. So it has to be enough that week to insert itself in the leaderboard. So what you see at the end of the year is the top five Come On Mans for the year.
For the year. I like it. I like it. All right. Well, that is just about a wrap for tonight. We've obviously got the Collingwood game next week. I'm going to say, I feel like saying Thursday. Is it Thursday? I'm not too sure. I should know because I've got to get the ball sent out for it, but it's sometime next week anyway. So that we're probably going to see a bit more of a stronger side for that hit out. I dare say we'll see quite a substantial amount of senior players come back in for the official hit out, as that's where you kind of are going to want to get everything kind of sorted and rolling for round one. So I would expect to see a Tom Lynch play. I would expect to see Taranto, Hopper, Short, Vlosten. There'll be a substantial – Wednesday night, thank you, everybody. There'll be a substantial amount of changes coming through for that Collingwood game. But good to see the young Cubs today, though. So we will do another show for next Monday night, talk a bit more about the Collingwood game, undoubtedly. I saw someone, Richo, pardon me, haven't got a physical – stubby holder yet. They should be getting here about mid-April, end of March, hopefully, if everything runs well. But yeah, for those who have ordered a stubby holder, thank you very much for the love and support. There's still, yeah, still stubby holders available. The footballs should be here soon as well. I'm hoping to get a sample of that one so I can put a proper photo up. But yeah, that's all going well too. But well, there you go, Jones Racing just a confirmed full strength for Pies game. There we go. That's what you want to see. That's exactly what you want to see. But yeah, I suppose the moral of the story is don't get too wound up or caught up on what happened today. Today was never about winning or losing. And in a lot of ways, it was about seeing what worked and what didn't work so they can learn from that and then reshape and go again, you know, for this Collingwood game. I think I would be more alarmed if we walk away from the Collingwood game if we play the same way we did for the second period for three or four of those quarters this next game with more experienced players and things like that. That would trigger more alarm bells for me, I reckon.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. All we want to see next week is movement. If we see movement, I will be happy. Doesn't matter whether we win or lose, just movement.
Yep. And you would love to see just aggressive ball movement for four quarters. If we lose by 50 points, but we've had a crack at trying to move the ball fast and break the lines, you take that. I think everyone would actually be okay with a loss like that if that's how we lost.
Yep.
The coaches might think differently, though. So it's kind of all on them, really. But anyway, thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. Much appreciated. Make sure you give us a follow on all the socials, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And, yeah, keep interacting with us on there as well. Like EJ said, we'll put a few posts out where you can send your nominations through. And otherwise, we will be back on Monday with another show before the Pies game. And there'll probably be a heap of other videos in between on the YouTube channel. So keep an eye out for those. And thank you again, EJ, for tonight. And until next time, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.